This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
It's time for Speak Legal, conversations with community law Otago.
And joining us today on the show to talk about human rights issues, Nina Webb. Nina, nice to have with us. Thanks for joining us on the Awesome Morning Show.
Morena, thank you for having me.
All right, big issue, this international human rights. So maybe we start with a bit of definition, as we always do. What does the law tell us about what human rights actually are?
Yeah, so human rights are rights recognised in international legal documents. So they're meant to apply universally to things like the right to life, freedom from torture, and equality before the law. But in practice, human rights are enforced through states. So international law is largely state-centric, so when someone claims a violation, they're claiming against the state.
So who decides if a right has been violated?
Yes, so normally you first have to try every possible remedy inside your own country through courts or government processes. If you still don't get a remedy, you might be able to take your case to an international body, like the UN Human Rights Committee, but this is a slow, political, and often frustrating process.
Nina, are all rights treated the same?
Yeah, so not exactly. Some rights are called non-derogable rights and can never be taken away, even in emergencies. So these include the right to life, freedom from torture, and freedom from slavery. But other rights, like freedom of movement or assembly, can be restricted by states if they justify it under the law. An example of this would be the COVID-19 restrictions.
Mm. Perhaps you could give us an example of how human rights law has shaped our society.
Yeah, so a good example is the case Brown and Board of Education in 1954 in the United States. So this case overturned segregation in schools, recognising that separate but equal was not actually equal. So this shows how legal arguments about rights can push societies forward, but it also reveals the challenges that courts face. So they don't know how to fix deep social inequality, and that changing the law doesn't automatically change society.
Now, you would think that there would be universal agreement on this, but there isn't. Why are some people critical of international human rights?
Yeah, so this is where academic Mikhail Matua's Savages, Victims, Saviors metaphor is useful. So he argues that the modern human rights project is built on a Western narrative. So savages are the non-Western states, cultures, or leaders who are seen as abusing their people. Victims are the people suffering inside those states. And saviors are Western states, NGOs, and international institutions who swoop in to rescue them. The problem with this is it keeps human rights trapped in a colonial logic. Instead of equal global dialogue, it puts the West in charge of deciding what human dignity actually is.
Yeah, that's a really interesting one, a big deep one to explore perhaps some other time. Does that therefore mean that human rights don't really exist?
Yeah, so human rights definitely exist as powerful norms, but the enforcement is messy. So, for example, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights in 1948 set out broad principles, but it wasn't legally binding. Over time, it gave rise to different treaties like the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights and the International Covenant on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights. But even these depend on states voluntarily signing and reporting. There's no single world court that can enforce states to comply.
So states can just ignore them?
In some cases, they can. States do ignore UN committee recommendations. Reports are submitted every 2 to 5 years, but compliance is usually based on persuasion and international pressure. That's why critics like Oliver de Frouville say international human rights are more a system of norms than a true legal system.
All right, we've been talking about states here, but what about, you know, say, for example, businesses or non-state actors? Do human rights apply to them?
Yeah, so traditionally, international human rights law only applies to states. But in today's world, corporations, militias, and other non-state actors can abuse rights too. There are growing efforts to hold them accountable, for example, through supply chain regulations or corporate responsibility treaties. But these are still slowly developing.
Is it fair to say that international human rights are more about politics than law?
Yes, so that's one of the main criticisms. Human rights arguments often slide between law, politics, and morality. So a state can defend itself legally by pointing to a treaty clause, but but then justify something politically by appealing to national security, or morally by claiming it protects certain values. So it's not just about what the law says, it's about competing visions of justice.
So are human rights helping or hurting, do we think?
Yeah, so that's the big question. Supporters argue that human rights provide a universal language to challenge justice, but some critics say they're inconsistent, shaped by Western priorities, and often fail to deliver real change. The UN system can sometimes be slow and clumsy and sometimes hypocritical if we think of who's in charge or the selective focus on certain countries.
So, Nina, where does that leave us?
International human rights are not a perfect system so far. They're fragmented, political, and sometimes ineffective, but they've also created a space for individuals to challenge state power and for norms like racial equality and freedom from torture to become universal standards. The key, though, is to approach them critically. We need to recognize their achievements, but also their colonial baggage and limitations, and how we can challenge and change them moving on to achieve a more peaceful society.
Mm. Interesting conversation this morning. We've been talking about international human rights with Nina Webb from Community Law Otago. Thanks for bringing that one to us, Nina, and we look forward to talking with you and the team from Community Law again next week.
Community Law Otago, free legal advice and support for the people of Otago. Advice clinic times are available from the website communitylawotago.com. We're based at 169 Princes Street. To make an appointment, call 03 474 1922. Community Law Otago, proud to bring you Speak Legal. Check out the podcast at oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.